between the stars and me. Examiner. He does handwriting analysis and is the author of The Holy Virus, which is an incredibly powerful book. This book will resolve so many questions that result from poorly written, conflicting, and misinterpreted scriptures. If anyone thought that the questions and controversy about Jesus was complete, along comes another writer sure to shake up the Christian, Catholic, Muslim, and Jewish traditionalists. In this, his first book, Lionel Parkinson claims that Bible chapters and verses were corrupted by Babylonian conquerors, modified long before King James gave his stamp of approval. Will his findings prove more sound than others? Parkinson sorely discounts Bible apologists as being completely taken in by a theology, or what he calls a virus, that was forced upon them unsuspecting centuries ago. For this he has titled his book, The Holy Virus. To further make his point, Parkinson is offering $10,000 to anyone who can find the quote from the King James Bible where Jesus claims he came to shed blood and die for anyone's sins. Tonight, Lionel will be revealing the 12 unpublished commandments of Jesus. Everyone, please join me in an extremely warm and loving welcome for a very special guest, Mr. Lionel Parkinson. Hi, Lionel. Thanks again for coming again tonight.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be back this week. I'm very excited to talk about what I did not cover last week.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the listeners are all excited and waiting tonight, too, because tonight is when we're going to really hear the 12 commandments of Jesus, and I just got a really strong feeling this is going to change a lot of people's lives in a lot of really positive ways. So if you're ready, you can just go ahead and get started and maybe just recap a little bit about what you spoke of last Saturday night, and then you can just go right into the commandments. Just take it away. The show is yours, my dear.
Okay. Thank you very much. I hope I come out very clear and concise, because what I'm about to reveal is so important that I cannot emphasize it enough. To recap from last week, when I was talking about not only the Ten Commandments, but what these Ten Commandments meant to Jesus when he was referring to his flesh and his blood. The Ten Commandments pretty much represent his flesh and his blood. And this is one reason why I've always put out a monetary challenge toward anyone in modern-day Christianity that believes that Jesus died on the cross and shed his physical blood for the remission of their sins. I believe this is a misinterpreted doctrine. And this is the reason why I challenged, or put this challenge out there, is because when I did my examination of what Jesus actually said in the four Gospels, I could not find any evidence that he made such a claim, that he came to die for the sins, or shed his blood for the sins of anyone.
I know, I'm having a problem hearing you clearly. I can barely hear what you're saying. Do you have the phone a little ways too far, maybe away from your mouth?
No, it's very close to my mouth.
Okay. What?
But you're not hearing me, huh?
You were very faint. I'm hearing you a little better now, dear.
Can you hear me better now?
Just a little, not a lot.
Not a lot. Okay, maybe I should just talk a lot louder.
Maybe if I call for Michelle or Don, maybe. Don or Michelle, are you there? We're having a little problem hearing Lionel. He's quite faint in my ear. I can hardly hear what he's saying. If you're there listening to the show, is there some way you could help with this, please? Hello?
Hello?
Just go ahead, Lionel. Maybe the audience can hear you better than I can. You know, because sometimes that's how it is. I know sometimes I hear on Don's show, he will not hear the gentleman he's talking with win, but the audience can hear them both clearly.
Okay, then I'll just continue on, okay?
Okay, go ahead. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Okay. As I was recapping what I said last week, Jesus had stated that he gave certain commandments, and you can find those in the book of John. And he said it like this in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 21, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." These commandments that he's referring to were not edited into the four Gospels. They were deliberately edited out. And the reason is that the four Gospels in the King James Bible were written by copyists. They were not written by the apostles directly. So we're not getting a full and clear picture of what Jesus is referring to as his commandments. And as an examiner, I needed to get solid known exemplars in order for me to understand the personality profile of who Jesus really was. So I had to go outside the four Gospels, such as the Gospel of Philip, and especially the Gospel of the Holy Twelve, which is more of the originals that were written by the 12 apostles collectively and not some individual copies that were written by unknown authors. So it's very important for an examiner like myself to determine what are my known exemplars to identify who Jesus really is, how he thought, what he taught, and how he really lived his life. But there are scriptures in the four Gospels of the King James Bible that do lead us to a list that Jesus had given to the apostles. This list of 12 commandments were delivered to the apostles on the Mount of Transfiguration. And this was the time that Jesus had taken his apostles up to a mountain, and he transformed into a glorious light being, and there was a communication between him and Moses and Elijah. The story is incredible, but this is out of that transfiguration came these 12 commandments. And I'd like to just go into those right now, because the 12 commandments represent literally the flesh and the blood that Jesus poured out toward mankind for the remission of their sins. And this is the correct, I believe, the correct interpretation of those scriptures in the King James Bible, where he is saying, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." When he uses the term blood and flesh, he's referring to his 12 commandment doctrine, and not his physical shed blood as practiced by the Pharisees and Sadducees when they used to torture and kill animals and pour their blood out on an altar for the remission of their sins. Jesus was very much against that doctrine, and that it was the reason why you hear the story and read the story in the King James Bible, where he went into the temple and threw everybody out and told them that this temple was made to be a house of prayer, not a house of thieves and merchandisers. So the position that I come from as an examiner is I needed to come up with these known exemplars so I could identify Jesus as compared to the personality profile of the Old Testament Lord that was cruel and merciless and showed a lot of partiality. He wanted certain blood sacrifices made to him. In other words, there was a totally different, contrary doctrine opposed to what I'm reading about Jesus. So, by comparing the two personality profiles up against one another, I could determine that the Lord of the Old Testament, the Torah, the first five books, was not the Holy Father that Jesus promoted and taught about in the four Gospels. So, I'm going to just read from the Gospel of the Holy Twelve, the book that was written by the 12 apostles, and then I'll comment on those 12 commandments. I'll just start reading, okay?
Yes, go right ahead.
"And Jesus said unto them, Behold, a new law I give unto you, which is not new, but old, even as Moses gave the 10 commandments to Israel after the flesh, so also I give unto you the 12 for the kingdom of Israel after the Spirit. For who are the Israel of God, even they of every nation and tribe who work righteousness, love mercy, and keep my commandments? These are the true Israel of God. And standing upon his feet, Jesus spoke, saying, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Many are my seers and my prophets. In me all live and move and have substance. The first commandment is this. You shall not take away the life of any creature for your pleasure, nor for your profit, nor yet torment it. Second commandment. You shall not steal the goods of any, nor gather lands and riches to yourself beyond your need or use. Number three, you shall not eat the flesh nor drink the blood of any slaughtered creature, nor yet anything which brings disorder to your health or senses. Number four, you shall not make impure marriages where love and health are not, nor yet corrupt yourselves or any creature made pure by the holy. Number five, you shall not bear false witness against any, nor willfully deceive any by a lie to hurt them. Number six, you shall not do unto others as you would not that others should do unto you. Number seven, you shall worship one eternal, the Father, Mother in heaven, of whom are all things, and reverence the holy name. Number eight, you shall revere your fathers and your mothers on earth, whose care is for you, and all the teachers of righteousness. Number nine, you shall cherish and protect the weak and those who are oppressed, and all creatures that suffer wrong. Number 10, you shall work with your hands the things that are good and seemly. So shall you eat the fruits of the earth and live long in the land. Number 11, you shall purify yourselves daily and rest the seventh day from labor, keeping the holy Sabbath and the festival of your God. And number 12 is simply the golden rule. You shall do unto others as you would that others should do unto you. Now, those are the 12 commandments based upon my research that Jesus really wanted to impart to his, not only his apostles, but to everyone. And you can see, if you can break those down, you'll see that Jesus incorporated protection for not only human beings, but also for animals. Mm-hmm. And all creatures, that mankind was really created to till the soil and feed the creatures properly. They were not supposed to be fed by killing other animals and feeding them other animals. And they were to be protected just the same way you would protect another human being.
So the animals were supposed to be eating, like, the fruits and the vegetables and things like that, not eating meat or anything like that, as well as the people?
Correct, yes.
Right. So I guess that's where a lot of people are now becoming vegetarian.
I should also mention that law does show up in the book of Genesis as well, that it was intended that the animals should eat just the fruits, the vegetables,
right,
the nuts,
right,
the grains, and they can live. Scientifically, I did some research on carnivores, that when they are fed this particular type of diet, at the time of birth, they will not eat flesh when they are raised up. They prefer this type of diet. But since mankind wants to keep animals in the wild kingdom, they are forced to bite one another and consume one another because they're not being properly taken care of. And mankind was meant to be a caretaker, not an undertaker for animals.
Most definitely. That's beautiful. They're wonderful commandments.
Yeah, and also when one examines this, it would be impossible for another human being to want to murder another human being.
To kill anyone, to destroy anything.
Yes, especially if they're trained as a child to take care of the animals around them. In every case that I've studied of murderers, they always start out by killing animals first before they murder human beings.
How sad. How horribly sad. Yes, I know. That's something that we all need to teach our children from the time they come into this world, is the truth about peace, the truth about respect, truth about caring about the earth and the animals and everything that is around them. Just respect, care, and love, and change all these old ways of destruction and killing and harming and robbing, and just too much. Time for that change.
Oh, yes.
I think that's what these commandments will do if people really pay attention and listen. I think these commandments, once people start hearing them, reading your book and hearing all about this from you, because you're just like pretty much neutral. You're not no religion. You're just a spiritual person that believes in God. From what you learn, you're looking at it more scientifically than any other way, aren't you?
Yes, I look at it simply from the point of view of gathering the most accurate facts that I know how to, mm-hmm, as an examiner.
Mm-hmm.
I also took these 12 commandments and compared them to other gospel writings of the other apostles to make sure that these were the correct commandments that is being referred to in the book of John in the King James Bible. And the Gospel of Philip confirms also that, if I can read it, it'll take me a second to read it, but the Gospel of Philip also mentions that the flesh of Jesus really represents his word, and his blood represents the Holy Spirit. And he who has received these have food, and he has drink, and he has raiment. And in the Gospel of Philip, he's referring to this as the first resurrection. That's how important these 12 commandments are. When a person receives these and keeps these commandments, they are undergoing the first resurrection while they're yet alive. That is what my research has uncovered.
So are you the first person to ever write a book and bring these out? Because I've never heard about any these commandments before myself. And where have they been hid all this time?
Yeah, to my knowledge, I am the only one that has come up with this information. I don't know why no one else has. Mainly because I think a lot of people come from one of the mainline religions, and they know that they cannot introduce this information inside their mainline religions because they will not be accepted. They will be excommunicated. A document examiner comes from a neutral-minded position, where I'm specifically hired to give a neutral-minded opinion. So I'm used to doing that in a courtroom, whether it's working on wills, codicils. I have to speak for, many times, the dead party or those that are not capable of speaking for themselves, because no one else can speak for them.
Right.
Right.
So these have been hid away in where? In another country? In this country? Where has these commandments been held? And how? And why? Is it because they don't want us to know these commandments? For what reason? I don't understand. Because these commandments make such a better world. Why wouldn't they want us to know these commandments?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because these commandments and the whole gospel of the Holy 12 apostles come to us through the Essene community that escaped the Roman murders of 70 AD. And this is why the people of the Masada and the Dead Sea Scrolls, even though they are found in 1947, the people of the Dead Sea Scrolls died pretty much because they could not get back to their scrolls and uncover them because they were killed by the Romans. The Essenes that lived outside Jerusalem and outside Israel were pretty much protected because they could run away from the Romans.
Right.
And these were the people that Jesus warned in the four Gospels that you were supposed to flee the city before it gets destroyed. But only those that heeded that warning lived, and they no doubt had the original documents, the original gospel. And a gentleman back in 1892 uncovered this, the original gospels, and translated it during that time in 1892, and that's how I discovered it. Because when I was doing my examinations on the four Gospels, I could not find an adequate known exemplars to identify the personality traits of Jesus. I kept on coming up with conflicting personality traits. And as I've told attorneys, in every case that I've ever handled, I want to deal with the originals, not your photocopies, because the originals will tell me things that a photocopy will not tell me.
Right. So, in all this research and all the stuff that you learned about Jesus, how old was he when he died, and where was he when he died?
As far as the four Gospels accounts, they are accurate. It was in 33 A.D. that he was crucified.
Okay.
And he was approximately 46 years of age.
Right.
That would place his birthday and right around the 11 to 13 B.C. era.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The way one can figure this out is that King Herod died in 4 B.C. based on the historian Josephus. And according to the Gospel of the Apostles, Jesus stayed in Egypt. His mother and father took him to Egypt to get him away from King Herod because he had placed an order to kill all children under the age of 2. So that places Jesus at a birth date of around 11 B.C. to 13 B.C. at the most. And that's how I come up with a 46-year-old man at the time of the crucifixion.
Did you find anything about him being married? I think in the Da Vinci Codes, if I'm wrong, please forgive me, but I think in the Da Vinci Codes, what that was talking about, I got the book, but I honestly didn't have time to read it. They were talking about Jesus was possibly or was married to Mary Magdalene. Did you ever find any information like that, Lionel?
Well, based on the teachings of Jesus, he did not, he never did get married. It was not in him to get married, for one thing. He did not believe in it on the sense that people believe in it today.
Right.
Or rather, however, he would, in the Gospel of the Holy Twelve, it does describe the proper way to get married under God, and it is completely different than the way Christians are being married under the state today.
Oh, explain that.
The prophets would never, and including Jesus, would never approve of anyone getting married under a foreign venue, such as a state or a nation. It was incorrect. It was wrong. That's just the way he thought.
What was the way that he thought was the proper way to for a man and a woman, or did he say anything about a woman and a woman uniting, a man and a man, or was it strictly a man and a woman? And what was the proper way? Did you find that?
Through the Gospel of the Holy Twelve, the original Gospel, it was just a man and a woman.
Right.
And it was set up in a way that they were supposed to get married under the teacher of righteousness that they were being taught at that particular time, because the apostles had prophets and they had teachers that were around them to instruct them in the proper way to conduct the kingdom of God. So when Christians got married, they got married under God and not a foreign venue that Christians today are being married under.
Right. So they could pretty much just go out and perform a ceremony by committing themselves to each other and God just...
Yeah, it was done through a confession together, and there was a ritual involved. It involved a purple cord around the waist. For some reason, they would put a cord around the female and the male, and as the teacher of righteousness would declare them married, they would also just declare their marriage verbally in front of their families.
Right.
It didn't require a certificate of marriage as being performed today.
Blood tests and all that kind of scary stuff.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Are you there, Lionel? Hello?
I think I lost you.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Lionel, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Lionel? Hello? Lionel? Hello? Hello?
There's something in these times that breaks and blows the mind till you find
apparently. Apparently not.
Hi, can you hear me, Lionel?
Yes, I can.
Sorry about that, dear. That's never happened before, but it could be the weather or anything, because I know down here where I'm at, we're having a lot of thunderstorms and lightning and hail and everything, so it could be something with the weather. I'm so very sorry for the interruption. Thank you so much, Michelle. I appreciate your help, dear. So, Lionel, if you'd like to just pick up where you left off, we can just go right ahead. And if you also want to tell the listeners about your book and how to get it, Lionel, because I'm sure after hearing all that they've heard up until now, they're going to want to get this book of yours.
Yes, the book can be obtained by through your computer at holyvirus.net. That is holyvirus.net. And the book will cover all the pathological problems that I was able to uncover with the Lord of the Old Testament, and allow you to see the conflict that Jesus had with this old Lord that was really invented by priests that wanted to shed the physical blood of animals for the remission of their sins.
So this Lord didn't really even exist. This is something they just invented because this is something they were into, killing animals and shedding their blood and suffering, having them suffer. There was not a God like that. They just created that.
Yes. They created this so they could have control over the tribe that they
over the people.
Yes.
Wow.
It forced them to have to give up of their substance, their farm animals, in order to pay tribute to the priests.
Right.
And they did this under the guise of a God that was very merciless and demanded so-called physical blood. So they created an altar and would take the animal and stab it to death and pour its blood on the altar and on the tips of the horns on the altar that is being described in the book of Leviticus. And even though it's very gruesome, one, when they read my book, they'll see just how hideous and insidious this practice really was towards the animals. They did not care about animals at all. They did not see themselves as caretakers, but more like the undertakers of animals.
And they were the same way with each other, with the people. So what about the Beatitudes? Are the Beatitudes really the truth, or are they just written to fit in with more of this? How does that work?
Yeah, the Beatitudes in the book of Matthew that you're referring to are legitimate teachings of Jesus. You should trust those. Because they fit the personality profile of the true historical Jesus. I do not have any problem with the Beatitudes because they fall in line perfectly with the 12 commandments of Jesus.
What about the 10 commandments? How do you feel about those? What did you find out about those?
Well, the 10 commandments were given for those that think on a carnal level.
Okay.
It was pretty much given to those, to the priests on a level that would keep them from destroying other life forms such as humans. They knew they could not give the 12 commandments to, you know, the tribe of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. So Moses probably, you know, just simply rewrote them to make them more palatable for the priests at the time that would accept it on their level. And again, when later on when Israel went in under captivity of the Babylonians practiced the sacrifice of animals for the remission of sins as well. So there was really no difference between what the priests were practicing in Egypt and the priests that were practicing the animal sacrifices in Babylon hundreds and hundreds of years later. So the priests that were sacrificing animals at the time of the temple when Jesus and John the Baptist came on the world stage, they were simply, Jesus and John the Baptist was really going up against the old Babylon religion of sacrificing animals for the remission of sins, and that's why they were persecuted and later crucified.
Yes, basically killed.
Yeah, and modern day Christianity probably won't accept the 12 commandments of God. It will. This information is strictly for those that are in search of the true historical Jesus and want to come into his kingdom and wear his raiment and understand his esoteric language, such as blood and flesh. So it was not the physical blood that Jesus shed on the cross for the remission of sins. It was the doctrine and the 12 commandments that he shed throughout the ministry of his life that causes the remission of sins, not his physical blood. So that is the reason why I put out a $10,000 challenge toward any Christian or Catholic church that wants to try and quote anything out of the four Gospels, because it simply does not exist. Jesus was always referring to his blood and his flesh as meaning his doctrine. Never are you supposed to trust in the belief that you shed an animal's blood or even a Savior's blood for the remission of your sins. It will not save you. You have to apply his commandments. That is what saves a person, according to my research.
And when you say come into his kingdom, into Jesus' kingdom, can you explain that so for people that, you know, maybe that are out there listening that really don't have any religion or maybe never even read the Bible or anything, don't know what that means, but would like to know what is Jesus' kingdom?
Right, yeah.
Can you explain a little bit about that, Lionel, please?
Yeah. They can think of it like this. Any king of any kingdom requires certain requirements to enter into their kingdom. The 12 commandments are those requirements in order to enter in. Without those commandments, you are not allowed in. It's just simple as that. So when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will love you, and I will manifest myself to you, and my Holy Father will manifest himself to you. He's simply saying, keep my commandments, and that's all you need to do. Treat other people and animals the way you would want those people and animals to treat you, and that is the summation of all the law and all the prophets, is to simply respect life and treat that other life the way you would want that other life to treat you, and you, by law, enter into the kingdom of God based on that teaching.
And entering into the kingdom of God, that basically means that when you die, you go to heaven, or...
Well, when a person keeps his commandments, according to my research, that is the first resurrection. You have now passed from death unto life, according to the scriptures.
Okay.
That's the first resurrection. So you're considered dead until you come into knowledge of the commandments of the Holy Father, which is the 12 commandments.
Right.
So it's once a person decides to keep those, then they pass from death unto life. That is the first resurrection. When they physically die, according to Jesus, you really, all you're doing is shedding the body, but you go on to be with him. To be later on, he'll be raised at the last day. And I can read that scripture if I can find it. Yeah. It's found in John chapter 6, and it says, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." That is the second resurrection.
And what does he mean by the last day?
Well, that apparently is referring to the very last judgment, when everybody gets judged and they are, by choice, they have made the decision what venue they will rest all eternity in. According to my research, there is an appointed time for everyone by choice, whether they accept the commandments of Jesus or not. It's just like if you went into the United States. The United States requires certain requirements to enter in. Even though the United States is a fiction, it still is based on requirements through the immigration laws. Well, think of it, it's kind of similar in the kingdom of God. When you accept the commandments of Jesus, you're in the kingdom from the point of acceptance at that point. So it's hard for me to specifically say what happens when a person physically dies, because scripture doesn't bear out exactly what happens. It just simply states that they pass into another venue, the same venue that they passed through the first resurrection. In other words, in Jesus' mind, you never really die when you physically die. You belong to God, and he'll take care of you. By faith,
right.
You just trust that you're in him.
So who judges you, Jesus, yourself, or God?
What's that?
In the scriptures where Jesus refers to on the last resurrection, that's when you'll be judged, that you were speaking about, who did he specify how you are judged? Are you judged by God? Are you judged by yourself, going through a life review? Or are you judged by Jesus? Where's this judgment come in?
Well, when he's referring to the last day, it's already predetermined by the person that decides whether or not they want to enter into life or whether they want to continue condemning and killing others around them. Whenever a person has that nature of condemning and killing, they naturally cannot enter into the kingdom of God, because they're not keeping or willfully wanting to keep his commandments. So a person, once they keep the commandments of God, and simply by keeping them, you're just practicing it the same way you're cooking breakfast in the morning. You don't have to tell yourself to treat an animal right or a human being correctly. You just do it because it's part of your nature. But a lot of people that don't have that nature constantly want to destroy other people through either profit for money or the love of it. For whatever reason, they want to fight entering into the kingdom based on the commandments. They'd much rather try and enter in by believing in some blood ritual, by simply believing that Jesus died on the cross for their sins through a blood atonement. That is the lie. That is the old Babylonian belief system, that you enter into a relationship with God through a physical blood atonement. And I think that's what needs to be taught first before people should even look at the 12 commandments, because they're going to have to start questioning their old way of living and thinking. You know, it's one thing for me to deliver the 12 commandments to people, it's another thing for that those 12 commandments to override their belief in the old physical blood atonement of the Old Testament.
Right.
That's why it is very difficult for Christians to accept this, but you'd be surprised how many do. They are very impressed
with this. Is that what you're saying, that there are people that still do this?
Well, they practice it in the sense that they believe that Jesus shed his physical blood on the cross for their sin,
right,
2,000 years ago.
Right.
Which, you know, if you carry that out to its ultimate conclusion, let's say that Jesus didn't come 2,000 years ago. Let's say that he came today. Knowing what they know, that he has to die on some way and shed his blood for their sins, they become psychologically a murderer of the very deliverer of the gospel. So,
right.
So that's why I kind of warn Christians not to believe in that old bloodshed sacrifice system, because it was based on a lie.
Exactly. Definitely.
And that's why I called the book The Holy Virus, because it was a implanted doctrine for the purpose of deceiving people,
right,
because they are carnally minded, not spiritually minded, and,
right,
and they don't want to change on the inside.
Exactly, and Jesus' teachings was completely spiritual and not into all this other kind of horror of the world. Lionel, thank you, my dear. This has been great. Another great show you did, and all this wonderful, wonderful information. We just got a few minutes left, so if you just want to give out, if you got any kind of contacts that you need to give out, say if someone is listening and they would like to have you on their show where they can reach you, or you can give out the information again about your book, and thanks a million for coming on. Thank you so, so very, very much for all of this beautiful, beautiful information. It really makes your heart float and feel free knowing that the commandments that you live by, that Jesus, the commandments of Jesus, really, that's what they are. They're so much more different. They're so much more full of love and gentleness and kindness and respect. It's basically so simple. Just do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Mind your own business. Be respectful. Treat people good. Treat animals good. Treat the earth. Respect everyone. And that's pretty much what it's all about. Did I get that right?
Yes, I believe that is very accurate. Whenever you are treating others the way you would want them to treat you, I believe you are practicing and keeping the commandments of Jesus. Therefore, you can lawfully say that you can speak in his name.
Right.
You can lawfully speak in the name of his Holy Father because you are now in his kingdom.
Right.
And you should speak from that venue and not think of yourself as a U.S. citizen or a citizen anywhere else. You are now, you belong to the Holy Father, because Jesus said that these commandments belong to his Holy Father. He was more or less the messenger, and Jesus referred himself, I and the Father are one.
Right.
I should also mention...
We gotta go because it's almost that little closing time, and I'm so sorry that I gotta go and interrupt you like this. So much more I'd like to ask you, but time really flies when you're having a good time, and we sure were having a good time tonight listening to all this, Lionel. What's your website again, Lionel, and anything else you want to tell people how to get or anything?
Okay. The website is holyvirus.net, and also remember that I'm out here, I'm on your side, I'm an examiner, and I will continue researching the most reliable facts that I know how to, and I just want everybody to know that I'm on your side, and I'm here for you. I'm one of your servants. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thanks for your courage. Thank you so much, Lionel. You're a courageous man, and you're doing a beautiful thing, and I see nothing wrong with telling the truth. That's what the world needs, love and truth and peace. So thanks a lot, and I'll make sure to keep all the information up on my show, information show page until Tuesday, so the listeners, you know, they can see all of the contact information that you have, and I just want to thank you again. I want to thank you, Don, Michelle, thank you, darling, and Seth, thank you so much. Christopher, thanks for standing by me and helping me through the show. Lionel, I'll talk to you soon next week. I'll be in touch with you, dear, and I got some emails I'm going to send out to you that came back, so thanks a million. Thanks, James Twyman, for your beautiful music of peace from your CD, The Best So Far. And listeners, thanks so very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the show. It's entirely up to you, dear souls. You make your own decisions and choices. It's a free will, free choice planet, so go right ahead. I love Jesus' commandments. They're very beautiful. They're full of peace. They're full of love and kindness and respect, and that's really what the world needs now, so just make up your own minds. I wish you all health, I wish you love, I wish you peace, and I wish you abundance. And always remember, dear souls, be kind, compassionate, and respectful to each other and all of God's creations, and strive for peace, be peace, and teach others by your positive examples. Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening, and sweet dreams of a beautiful world that we all live in. In harmony as one, respect in all. Much love. Good night. Thank you.